stricken.
Of a person who is bondage stricken.
Eva.
Eva.
Indeed.
Indeed.
Yujin te.
Yujin te.
May easily associate.
May easily associate.
Sadabaha.
Sadabaha.
Saintly persons.
Saintly persons.
Samaradashinaha.
Samaradashinaha.
Although sadhus are equal to everyone.
Although sadhus are equal to everyone.
To the poor and the rich.
The poor man can take
advantage
of their association.
Sadbihi.
By the association of such saintly persons.
Shinoti.
Reduces.
Tam. The original cause of material suffering.
Tarsham.
The desire for material enjoyment.
Tataha.
Thereafter.
Thereafter.
Arat.
Arat.
Very soon.
Very soon.
Vishuddhyati. His material contamination is cleansed off.
His material contamination is cleansed off.
So translation. Saintly persons may freely associate with those who are poverty stricken, but not with those who are rich. A poverty-stricken man, by association with saintly persons, very soon becomes uninterested in material desires, and the dirty things within the core of his heart are cleansed away. Can you repeat? Saintly persons may freely associate.
Saintly persons may freely associate
with those who are poverty-stricken.
With those who are poverty-stricken,
but not with those who are rich.
But not with those who are rich.
A poverty-stricken man.
Man.
By association with saintly persons.
By association with saintly persons.
Very soon becomes uninterested in material desires.
And the dirty things
within the core of his heart are cleansed away. So purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki.
Jai.
It is said, Mahal vichala nam rinam grihi nam dina chaita sam Bhagavatam 10th canto 8th chapter text 4. The only person a business of a saintly person or sannyasi, a person in the renounced order, is to preach Krishna consciousness. Sadhu saintly persons want to preach to both the poor and the rich, but the poor take more advantage of the sadhu's preaching than the rich do. A poor man receives sadhus very quickly, offers them obeisances, and tries to take advantage of their presence. Whereas a rich man keeps a big greyhound dog at his door. It's usually a Doberman pincher, though. So that no one can enter his house, he posts a sign, "Beware of dog," and avoids the association of saintly persons, whereas a poor man keeps his door open for them and thus benefits by their association more than a rich man does. Because Narada Muni, in his previous life, was the poverty-stricken son of a maidservant, he got the association of saintly persons and later became the exalted Narada Muni. This was his actual experience. Therefore, he is now comparing the position of a poor man with that of a rich man. Satam pasangan mama virya sambhado bhavanti kritkarnam rasayana katha to joshana dashtapa varga vartmane shradaratiravati anukramashyate. So it probably doesn't give the translation, I'll translate it. That these saintly persons, they gather together and hear about Krishna's heroic activities. In this way, the heart, the transcendental sound vibration enters from the ear to the heart and enables one, Jajashana Vashu, to progress on the path of liberation, Abhavarga Vartmani. And then gradually one gets faith, taste, and devotion, one after the other. That's the literal translation. If one gets the advantage of association with saintly persons, by their instructions, one becomes more and more purified of material desires. So, Krishna vaihirmukha haya bhoga vancha kare nikatastha maya tare japatiya dare. That's from Jagadananda's Prema Vivarta. Material life means that one forgets Krishna and that one increases in one's desires for sense gratification. But if one receives the advantage of instructions from saintly persons and forgets the importance of material desires, one is automatically purified. Chetadarpanamarjanam bhava mahal vagni nirvapanam. That's from the Shikshashtaka, verse 1. Unless the core of a materialistic person's heart is purified, he cannot get rid of the pangs of bhava mahadha vagni, the blazing fire of material existence. Okay. Ridrasyaiva yujante sadava samatarshanaha sadikshinoti tam tarsham tata arad vichudyati. So omaganata vidandasya gananjana shvakaya chakshuru meditam yena tasmai shidurve namaha. So, I'd like to make reference to some of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes in this regard. Not only in the sense that a poor person can more readily accept instructions from a saintly person, but also in the sense that generally a saintly person should be very careful around rich people or people who have a position within this world. So, here's the first story that illustrates that fact. Once upon a time in Jagannath Puri, there was a great king, and his name was Maharaj Prataparudra. And Maharaj Prataparudra was such a saintly king that he did things like sweeping the road before Lord Jagannath came out. Actually, devotees don't do it the right way when they perform Rath Yatra. They have King Prataparudra sweeping the road before the cart, but actually sweeps the road before the deities when they come out. Anyway, whatever. It's okay if you have someone sweeping the road. But basically, sweeping the road as the deities come out of the temple in Puri, and they're bouncing from one cotton tuli, he's a cotton patch, to another, and then he sweeps the road there. Okay. So anyway, so he was sweeping the road, and he was a great devotee, and did other things too, like when Ramananda Roy met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him to retire. And then when Ramananda Roy went to King Prataparudra and said, well, I want to retire, then King Prataparudra gave him basically a pension, a tremendous pension. Said, okay, retire, join Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Another instance of King Prataparudra's great saintly qualities was when Gopinath Patanayaka basically Bhavananda Roy's son, and Bhavananda Roy is Pandu, and the five sons of Bhavananda Roy are the five Pandavas. And so anyway, so Ramananda Roy is Arjuna, and Gopinath Patanayaka is another one of the Pandavas. So he basically misappropriated some of the king's resources, or lost some of the king's resources, and when there was some arrangement to try to pay it back through selling horses, the Bhadajana, that means the king's son, actually got offended by Gopinath Patanayaka, because Gopinath Patanayaka referred to him in terms of his horses. He said, my horses will fetch a good price. They're not like someone who turns his neck up, like you, basically. And so, because of that, he was condemned to die by the Bhadajana. And they would put him on something called a chunga, which was a platform that was right above some raised swords. This is worse than a guillotine, actually. And they would throw someone upon the, all the raised blades that were up like that. And so you definitely have some piercings there, not just in your ears, but you have piercings all over your body. So anyway, so he was condemned like that, and the devotees went to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, what can I do? You know, he took inappropriately money. I'm not going to get involved in this. But just because they went to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the king actually, understanding Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's intimate relationship with Gopinath Patanayaka and Bhavananda Roy and Ramananda Roy, forgave Gopinath Patanayaka and even gave him back his position, gave him a silk wrapper, and increased his salary just by a glimpse of the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Because the king saw that Gopinath Patanayaka, Bhavananda Roy, and the whole family had an intimate relationship with Lord Chaitanya, and the king was such a great devotee that he forgave this whole debt. So anyway, there's many instances that prove that the king was a great devotee. Yet, getting to the point, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was asked to see the king, and even it was explained to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that the king was a great devotee, Lord Chaitanya said, "He may be a great devotee, but just like one drop of poison in a pot of nectar makes it poison, just by getting the name king." So he was showing the reluctance that a sannyasi should have to meet with a materialistic person. Even though the king was not materialistic, but Lord Chaitanya was always trying to show a good example for sannyasis. Because he understood that if he didn't set that good example, then there would be a resurgence, or not only a resurgence, but there would be an inundation of sahajism. For example, one time Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was offered sandalwood pulp, or sandalwood oil, sorry, to put on his body by Jagadananda Pandit. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to Jagadananda that you should offer this to Lord Jagannath. And of course, we know that Jagadananda Pandit got so angry that he threw the sandalwood oil down. Who said I have not given you the sandalwood oil, or I've come with the sandalwood oil? But anyway, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, if I was to use the sandalwood oil, he said to his assistant, Govinda, then everyone would think I'm a Dari sannyasi, or a sannyasi who keeps women. Just like if you have a sannyasi, enters the room, and he has a wonderful smell of sandalwood and all sorts of perfume, you think, oh, this guy's in trouble. Or if you have a sannyasi who dyes his hair because he's getting older, you understand? Like, sometimes we meet some of our friends, not sannyasis, of course. Some of the grahastha friends, obviously in Charlotte, I have a friend who's like 74 years old and his hair is black. I said, wow, how'd you do that? He said, I dye it. So if a sannyasi does that, it's a disqualification. He tries to make himself look beautiful somehow or other. So anyway, so Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu set this perfect example, and he refused to meet with King Prataparudra. And eventually, when he saw King Prataparudra's devotion, he didn't exactly say, I agreed to meet with him, but he did meet with him when King Prataparudra dressed like an ordinary Vaishnava. And this was at the Gundicha temple, near the Gundicha temple, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in the garden. He let King Prataparudra come in and basically massage him and read to him. And the king, of course, he wasn't dressed as the king. So you see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's reluctance to meet with a materialistic person, or even a person who has a name that would ostensibly give someone the impression that the person was materialistic. Also, another example of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes is the story of Raghunath Das Goswami. Of course, we know Raghunath Das Goswami, he gave up his father and his uncle, who were devotees. You know, it's not that they were like demons, or like Raghunkasipu, or against Krishna consciousness, but they were devotees who were, let's say, materially inclined. They had some desires. They were a very rich man. And the proof that they were materially inclined was that they wouldn't let Raghunath Das Goswami join the Hare Krishna movement. Sometimes you see that with some of our congregation, that they come to the temple and the devotees, and then if one of their children wants to join the movement, we had experience one time, that one of the ladies, oh, one of the girls, young girls, wanted to join the Hare Krishna movement. And the devotees got, not devotees, the parents got so upset they sent her to India for several years to get her away from the Hare Krishna movement. There's more to the story, but I'm not going to tell it. So, Raghunath Das Goswami's father and uncle, Haranyan Govardhan, and even they had nice names. Gold, of course, one name was Gold Haranya. Govardhan's a nice name, but Haranya just means gold. So, of course, Lord Chaitanya is Haranya because he's golden. He's Gauranga. So you can also say the same thing. Haranya, Naina Patraina. The effulgence of the Lord is also called Haranya, golden. In the Isopanishad, Haranyama, Naina Patraina. Please, my dear Lord, remove this dazzling golden effulgence around yourself. So, anyway. So they were definitely materialistic, and Raghunath Das Goswami had to run away from home, escape from home. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said about these two personalities, they are like worms in stool, in the stool ditch of material enjoyment. Imagine calling someone's parents that, even though they're devotees. And that, you know, it's not that they were against Krishna, they were giving donations to the Krishna consciousness movement. Oh my God. So, then later on, even in the context of the same story, is that Raghunath Das Goswami was getting money from them. And he was using that money to entertain Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Not to buy himself a Tesla or anything like that, but using it to entertain Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, like I think it was once or twice a month, Lord Chaitanya would come take prasadam and use the money for that particular purpose. And then after a while, he realized, Raghunath Das Goswami realized that it's not so good, it's contaminating. You know, and Lord Chaitanya said, you know, why is... isn't Raghunath inviting us? I just talked to Sri Damodar Goswami. Why isn't he inviting us anymore? And Sri Damodar replied that because he stopped taking money from his parents, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that's very good, because if one takes money from a materialistic person, there's a chance of contamination. Of course, if you use it in Christian service, that's not saying the devotees shouldn't go out in Sankirtan and collect donations and things like that, use it for the Krishna conscious movement. But one has to be very careful in dealing with money, because money can actually pollute the mind if one doesn't see it as Krishna's property. So anyway, so there those two stories of how someone should be very, very, very careful in dealing with money, and also very, very careful in dealing with people who are materialistic. Because sometimes when dealing with people who are materialistic, one may think that you have to flatter them. And actually, flattery sometimes can be used in preaching, but not in getting money. Like, I was just listening to a class that Srila Prabhupada was talking about how when we preach to someone, we can say, oh, and I'm just paraphrasing, oh, you, oh, very intelligent man, like that. You are very intelligent. And then, after a while, just forget everything you know and learn about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, anyway, so these are some of the points here. And the main point about these things is one has to be careful of bad association. And as Prabhupada points out here in the purport, if one has good association, even if it happens to be because one's a poor man and one's entertaining some sadhus, Then satam prasangam mama virya samvaro bhavanti vidkarna rasayana kata. So Joshua Dasa Pavarga Vartmanishwada Bhatiravati Anukuramishati. Then just by associating with them, like Narada Muni did, taking initiation, and he was just a little kid, taking initiation and also taking their remnants even once, he became the great Narada Muni. So association is the essence, is the point being made here. Of course, there's many verses in this regard, you know, sattva-sangha, sattva-shakoy, lava-bhatra, sattva-sangha, sattva-siddhi-hoy. And also in the Bhagavad Gita, we find that our cause of our material entanglement, karnam, guna-sangha, sattva-sad, jyoni-shu, karnam, Gunasangasha, the cause of a material entanglement, is associated with material modes. So if we associate with materialistic people, we're associated with materialistic modes. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stated, when he asked about the qualities of Vaishnava, a satsangachar. First thing was a satsangachar, a Vaishnavachar. A devotee gives up bad association and takes up good association. Anyway, so see, these are some of the points. So any questions or comments? Sure. Yes. Mother Gopi.
I was wondering if you would maybe be willing to give somewhat of an in-depth understanding of what association is really, and because there's 75 lines on, you know, taking association and the impact that can have. You know, with people, because, I mean, obviously some people have to work, and it's like, you don't take it on, you know, to a personal level,
yeah.
But, you know, there's many times we see people taking association on a very personal level, and ultimately it's going to have an impact, so I'm just kind of curious.
Well, basically, I think you explained it, you know, that can't be an intimate association, it could be official, and official doesn't mean that we just treat someone like a dog. I mean, for example, sometimes I go and speak to the workers here who are building the hall for Radha Rupananda, and I don't just think, you know, oh, they're bad association, gotta be careful about them. I just see them as spirit souls. It depends on the consciousness. I see them as spirit souls, and, you know, even sometimes I'll interact with them in an apparently materialistic way. One time, I said to one of them, how are you doing? And he put his fist up, and I went like that, and we did fist bumps with him. So, it doesn't mean I'm taking bad association, because I'm seeing them as spirit souls. You know, and actually, I do feel affectionate towards them, not because they're simply doing the drywall, building the temple, because they're spirit souls, they're part and parcel of Krishna. They're our brothers. I don't think there's any ladies working there, can't say sisters, but they're our brothers, you know. So I think that there has to be a natural affection and a spirit shastra chakshush at the same time. If you don't have shastra chakshush, then you're going to chakshu shakshush, for those of you who don't know what that means, is seen through the eyes of shastra. Seen through our philosophy. So when I see them, I think, automatically, I think, you know, that Mami Vangsa Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanantana Manashakshtani Andriyani Prakatishtani Karshati. I see these are all parts of Vangsa, of Krishna. They're all Krishna's dear children. They're my brothers. So that's how I see them. And I actually feel quite affectionate towards them. However, I also realize that they're under the modes of material nature, so I'm not going to sit down and smoke with them. And I try to give them prasad. You know, the other day, or several times, I've gone to the kitchen, and I told the devotees, why don't you bring them prasad? And some of the devotees say, well, we did, and they didn't want it. So even, you know, last night I was thinking, of course I didn't do it, I should have done it. I was thinking, But this is a feast. There must be some sweets left over we can package and give them or something like that. So, you know, we have to think compassionately. That, yeah, so that's the point. If we think compassionately and lovingly in a Krishna-conscious way, then we won't be taking bad association. But if we just see people as objects or put a label on them, utilizing the philosophy, you know, there's a way to apply the principle of Shastra Chakshus in a way that's compassionate, and then you can apply it in a way that's actually quite mechanistic or cruel. You can just see, you know, these are, you can use the labels. Demons. You know, if I were to go down to the pavilion or the hall that we're building and see them as demons, I mean, in one sense, you have those labels that people have applied, isn't it? A karma, karmi, rakshasa, meat eating, malechas. You know, we got all these beautiful words in our vocabulary. So if I was to see them like that, first of all, I would actually be associated with the modes of nature. Even though I was applying the principles of Shastra or the labels of Shastra on them, because I would be a separatist. In other words, I'd be thinking that. Of course, just like this verse in the third canon, that's Lord Kapila's instructions, I would be utilizing or performing devotional service in the mode of passion or ignorance. You know, to actually apply that sort of label to people. Yes, their actions may be, you know, they're like Jesus Christ said, don't hate the sinner, hate the sin. So their actions may be not Christian, or not maybe, they're not Christian conscious. But I have to be very careful not to get into the modes of nature and dealing with them in a discriminatory fashion. Does that make sense? So in other words, if your interactions with people who are not Krishna conscious are not compassionate, then you are actually subject to control the modes of nature. Like if you're going on Sankirtan and thinking, is an expression the devotees used to use, pick it to the bone. Yeah, I mean, it's a horrible
one.
What?
Go on the pick.
Go on the pick. You ever heard of pick it to the bone?
Oh, yeah.
You know, just like by hook or by crook. You know, Prabhupada said that, but people took that out of context. Prabhupada didn't mean you should be crooked. He meant, you know, do what you have to do to get people Krishna conscious. That's an expression. If you take the expression literally, then it becomes something different than what Prabhupada intended. By hook or by crook, you know, if I say, by hook or by crook, get this hall finished by Janmashtami, it doesn't mean that you do it in an illegal fashion. It means somehow or other, get it done, you rascal. So, in other words, one has to have the proper vision of the people they're dealing with, and then you're not actually subject to the modes of nature. If you're looking at them compassionately, lovingly, then, and shastrically, obviously, not sentimentally, then you're actually not subject to the modes of nature by association. I mean, just like yesterday, one of the workers was introduced to me by Happy, and he said, this worker just lost his father, you know, last week. And so, you know, he felt compassion toward him. And I talked to him, and I said, and I basically tried to empathize with him. I said, this is a very difficult circumstance you're going through. And I also explained that I had lost my father, you know, a long time ago. So, this was my mood with him, and I didn't feel like I was associated with the modes of nature. I was thinking, here's my brother, I have to console him. You understand?
I guess
so. So there's compassion that is tempered by Shastra Chakshus, then you are not going to be influenced by the modes of nature. But if it's judgmental, then, or even materialistic, how to use that person for your own sense gratification. You know, just like I was thinking of generally, I don't know, I was thinking about this, generally in relationships, we actually think about what the other person can do for us. You know, someone, this is not criticism of household life, but if someone gets married, they're thinking, how can this man satisfy me? You know, does he have money? Is he handsome? Is he, what else? Strong? Is he playing tennis? Well, you know, whatever. Does he speak well? How can he satisfy me? And the man is looking at the woman, how can she satisfy me? So it's like a business. It's like going to the car dealership. And then you have to figure out what the payments are going to be. Yeah.
I was thinking about, it's interesting because you're giving up, your points are in relationships like preaching or...
Yeah, yeah.
Well, what about the fact that, and we've seen it happen, devotees just make friends with non-devotees and, you know, start going to baseball games and restaurants and movies and just drift into, a different sort. And they're not finding fault, they're actually becoming like.
Yeah.
So yeah. That seems to be another kind of danger of association. You know, you meet somebody nice at work, they're nice, and they got this, and they got this, you know, and pretty soon you're in different clubs and doing different things, and
yeah.
You're spending much more time with them than you are with devotees.
It's dangerous. I mean, one has to have a balance, too. You know, sometimes, like if someone, let's say you meet someone at work, for example, and they agree to go to the temple, and you agree to play tennis with them or something like that. I mean, something innocent. You have to use your intelligence.
But you have to have some discrimination.
Yeah, there has to be discrimination. Like, if he invites you to the bar, and he agrees to go to the temple, if you go to the bar, that's not proper. But if it's just an innocent thing, like you play tennis with him, or, you know, Parcheesi. It's Parcheesi.
That's for me to hear right.
What's that?
So I guess I'm just curious because you're going into deeper and deeper
lines,
drawing lines, but there's also, you know, people that are apparently devotees that aren't even have the envious or otherwise, and that's even harder to discern.
Well, it's pretty easy. Just go on their Facebook page and see what they write. That's the easiest thing in the world nowadays.
In this Adhikari, we offer a basis for a distance, yeah. But we stay away.
Yeah.
I mean, we just know that's not going to succeed.
Yeah, neophyte means they're fighting on Facebook. And then neo means the new way of fighting is Facebook and social networking. That's really easy. You find out, you just look, seriously, it's not a joke. I mean, you just see what they say, what they write, and you can ascertain, you know, if someone is critical of Vaishnava, just avoid their association. That's actually worse than someone who is not into Krishna consciousness at all. Because offenses can destroy your taste for bhakti. Hearing offenses. If you hear offenses, you should even leave the situation, defeat them. Of course, the third alternative is not applicable in Kali Yuga. I'm not even going to mention it in class because I'll get in trouble for it. Anyway, so don't do that. Or it's actually you got to. Another third alternative, just cut their internet connection.
Yeah. Or if you're on the phone.
Yeah, that's the way of cutting someone's tongue is to cut their internet connection. Hack their computer. No, don't do that. All right. Any other questions? Whoops. It's actually time. Just be careful. Be careful of associating with materialistic people. And especially with people who offend Vaishnava.